HarperCollins presents Hitler's Taster by V.S. Alexander. Read by Elke de Witt.
The Tea House. The Berghof. Chapter 1. A strange fear crept over Berlin in early 1943. The year before, I had looked up at the sky when air raid sirens sounded. I saw nothing except high clouds streaming like white horses' tails above me. The Allied bombs did little damage, and we Germans thought we were safe. By the end of January 1943, my father suspected the prelude to a fiery rain of destruction had begun.
"Magda, you should leave Berlin," he said at the onset of the bombing. "It's too dangerous here. You can go to Uncle Willy's in Berchtesgaden. You'll be safe there."
My mother agreed. I wanted no part of their plan because I'd only once as a child met my aunt and uncle. Southern Germany seemed 1,000 miles away. I loved Berlin and wanted to remain in the small apartment building where we lived in Horst Wesselstadt. Our lives and everything I had ever known were contained on one floor. I wanted to be normal. After all, the war was going well. That's what the Reich told us. Everyone in the Stadt believed the neighborhood would be bombed. Many industries lay nearby, including the brake factory, where my father worked. One Allied bombing occurred on January the 30th, at 11 in the morning, when Hermann Göring, the Reichsmarschall, gave a speech on the radio. The second occurred later in the day when the propaganda minister, Joseph Goebbels, spoke. The Allies had planned their attacks well. Both speeches were interrupted by the raids. My father was at work for the first, but at home for the second. We had already decided we would gather in the basement during an air raid, along with Frau Horst, who lived on the top floor of our building. We were unaware in those early days what destruction the Allied bombers could wreak, the terrible devastation that could fall from the skies in whistling black clouds of bombs. Hitler said the German people would be protected from such terrors, and we believed him. Even the boys I knew who fought in the Wehrmacht held that thought in their hearts. A feeling of destiny propelled us forward. "We should go to the basement now," I told my mother when the second attack began. I shouted the same words upstairs to Frau Horst, but added, "Hurry! Hurry!" The old woman popped her head out of her apartment. "You must help me. I can't hurry. I'm not as young as I used to be." I rushed up the stairs to find her holding a pack of cigarettes and a bottle of cognac. I took them from her and we found our way down before the bombs hit. We were used to blackouts. No Allied bombardier could see light coming from our windowless basement. The first blast seemed far away and I was unconcerned. Frau Horst lit a cigarette and offered my father cognac. Apparently cigarettes and liquor were the two possessions she would drag to her grave. Bits of dust dropped around us. The old lady pointed to the wooden beams above us and said, "Damn them!" My father nodded half-heartedly. The ancient coal furnace sputtered in the corner, but it couldn't dispel the icy drafts that poked their way through the room. Our frosty breaths shone under the glare of the bare bulb. A closer blast rattled our ears and the electricity blinked out. A brilliant orange light flashed overhead, so close we could see its fiery trails through the cracks surrounding the basement door. A dusty cloud swirled down the stairs. Glass shattered somewhere in the house. My father grabbed my mother and me by the shoulders, pulled us forward and covered our heads with his arched chest. "That was too close," I said, shaking against my father. Frau Horst sobbed in the corner. The bombing ended almost as quickly as it had begun, and we climbed the darkened stairs back to our apartment. Frau Horst said good evening and left us. My mother opened our door and searched for a candle in the kitchen. Through the window we saw black smoke mushrooming from a building several blocks away. My mother found a match and struck it. She gasped. The china cabinet had popped open, sending several pieces of fine porcelain given to her by grandmother to the floor. She bent down and scraped the shards into a pile, trying to fit them together like a puzzle. A cut glass vase of importance to my mother had smashed to bits as well.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?